This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Congratulations on surviving another week as we all cruise into the weekend. And so we're going to talk about everything from the need for two parties, pointing out hypocrisy, slavery, making fun of Lindsey Graham, all that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I want to finish up on the young lady's question before we go. Why do we even need two parties? Why do we even need Democrats? Why can't we just get rid of them? Well, listen, obviously the modern day Democrat Party is soulless, demonic, and evil, and communist, and awful, and there's no question about it. And I wish the party would just go away. But we always want choices. I actually don't like it that we only have two major political parties. I think it's a terrible system. I wish there were 10. I wish there were several political parties. That's how it operates in many parts of the world. And there are problems with that system too. But you want choices. You want choices. The problem when you get two political parties like we have, only two, is it becomes much easier for the two parties to actually become one. They just pretend they're different. You've heard people, maybe you've done it yourself, talk about the uniparty. It's a very legitimate complaint. Under Republicans, generally, government grows, spending grows. We get involved in every foreign affair humanly possible. We mass import foreigners. Under Democrats, government grows, spending grows. We get involved in every foreign affair possible, and we massively import foreigners. Then the Republicans, see? Now, obviously, I'm not going to pretend like both parties are the same. I don't say that. There are differences, significant differences, especially given how evil the Democrat Party has become. But two parties are easier to merge into one than 10 parties are. And nevertheless, this is the system we have, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. So it is what it is. Jesse, what's the cause of the shift in mindset that owning another human being, slavery, was immoral? For most of human history, this was not the case. Well, let's not simplify it too much. Remember, when we say for most of history, for history this, there were always people throughout history who thought the idea of owning another human being was wrong. And there have been always people throughout history, including today, that have no problem with owning another human being. It all comes down to how you look at human beings. It really all comes down to that. If you look at a person, any person, maybe someone you hate or a culture or a religion or a race you dislike. Maybe you look at that person as not necessarily a person like you. They're lower. They're lesser. They're not a human being, a soul created by God. It's just a lesser person. If you look at people like that, then it's not a hard step to think, well, I should own that person. They should cook and clean and work the salt mines and everything else. If you look at human beings, every human being, as a God-created soul, well, then it's a lot harder to justify owning that person in your mind, right? It's a matter of how you look at people. This is why I don't like collectivism in any form, because what it does is it strips the individual of any rights. You just become, well, part of the herd. And if you stray from the herd, you're struck down because the herd has to move as one. And I reject that completely. Jesse, it's that time of year where every store at checkout wants you to round up for whatever cause. I hate that as much as people selling things at store entrances. I've seen over and over again how the Roundup money doesn't actually get to where you're led to believe it does. I'm never a round-upper. What say you? I completely refuse to round up ever. Not in the fast food drive-through lane. Not in the at checkout counter in the grocery store. In fact, this is a good time. In fact, this is the perfect time because it's the Christmas season. It's the perfect time to let you know about something. When I was done running for Congress twice and losing twice, I moved to Washington, D.C. to work in politics. I only lived there for a year, and then I moved out. But during that time, I got a window into the nonprofit world that was very revealing to me. The amount of money that flows into nonprofits that aren't necessarily nonprofits is amazing. These nonprofits, their CEOs are bringing home $500,000, $1 million a year. These nonprofits of every stripe, by the way, every cause, every veterans, sick puppies. We got to feed the kids in Africa. You name it. Even if that nonprofit started out with a good heart, if you will. They started out, the people who started it, they really wanted to help veterans. What happens is money starts coming in. Then you start staffing up. Then you start learning how to get more money. When you send more emails and more online fundraising and more this and more that. And soon, the human mind, the human heart being what it is, you have access to all this money flowing in. And yeah, you're for the veterans. This is veteran charity. How much money actually gets down to the wounded veteran you said you were helping? Not much. Not much. Don't ever, ever give to a charity you have not researched first. I speak for two. Tunnel to Towers and Preborn. Two. Go look them up. I've said that to you several times before. Don't take my word for it. Look them up. There are charity rating services, if you will, multiple. And what they do is, because nonprofits have to have fairly open books, these charity rating services will dig into all of them and they'll figure out where is the money flowing. Is that $20 you just sent to the veterans actually going to the veterans? Or is $19 of it going into the CEO's pocket and a veteran gets 50 cents at the end after everything shakes out? Look up every charity before you give. I have become so insanely jaded on the charity nonprofit industry the more I find out about it. When Premier... You know, I work for Premier, and we're so blessed with how they treat us here because they let us do what we want, say what we want, and they let us say no to people who want to advertise on the show. The second we get a nonprofit who wants to advertise on the show, Jewish producer Chris is on them like white on rice. He's all over the internet. Let's find out. What's the story behind this? What are the charity ratings? What are the salaries? And they know how to make it sound great, right? They're great at branding. All these charities are so great at branding. I remember, to speak about one specifically, I remember Hurricane Harvey. You probably forgot. There's always a new hurricane. But Hurricane Harvey was that big hurricane that hit my area, the Houston area, and it created a unique amount of flooding. It's not that the winds were that bad, but it got over us and stayed over us. And so the area was underwater. Like I couldn't leave more than a mile from my house. Everything was underwater. You had to get a raft. It was crazy. So there was flooding everywhere. Everything's underwater. And there was all this devastation and people's houses and livelihoods. It was terrible. And the Red Cross, the Red Cross is famous, old school famous. Red Cross comes in and started soliciting donations for Hurricane Harvey. Enterprising souls started tracking it. If you gave to that one they had sent out, there was actually no guarantee whatsoever your money was going to a single person in need in this area. None. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. But everybody, what happened? You had it in your heart to help people, people who are hurting, people who are underwater, people who lost everything, people who lost a loved one. And this massive charity sent out an email. Don't you want to help the people of Houston? They're drowning. Give $10 today. Does the money get there? Oh, no, probably not. Be careful. All right? All right. Let us move on and talk about the... Should we point out hypocrisy? Lindsey Graham. Top five bands. There's so much to get to. Before we get to that, I want to make fun of that lady from Nashville yesterday who's trying to backpedal. And I want to tell you about finding somebody good for your job. Well, not your job. For your company. You're an employer. You're looking for someone. Maybe it's a seasonal thing. I mean, maybe you're looking for a Santa Claus at this point, but maybe you're looking for someone permanent who will help your company grow. Where do you go? Should you put an ad in the paper? Throw a sign on the front door, now hiring? How frustrating is that? People don't show, dirt balls. It's a nightmare. ZipRecruiter gets rid of that for you. ZipRecruiter saves you time. That's why it's great. They know you're busy. They know you don't have 8 hours a day because you have a business to run. You can't dedicate all your time to finding someone. ZipRecruiter will put the best candidates in front of you immediately. They have this matching technology. You post a job, 4 out of 5 employers find somebody the first day. I'm not asking for months and months. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and in case you're wondering if the wonderful spirit that built America is gone, I want to point you to this headline right here. 2 North Texas men indicted in alleged plot to invade the Haitian island, kill all the men, and enslave the women and children. We can still do this, America. We can still... What? What, Chris? What? So you remember the lady yesterday, the congresswoman from Tennessee, from Nashville, Tennessee, who, well, here she was.
I've been heavily involved with the Nashville mayoral race because I hate the city. I hate the bachelorettes. I hate the pedal taverns. I hate country music. I hate all of the things that make Nashville, apparently, and its city to the rest of the country, but I hate it. Yeah, I'm that girl.
That is not landing that well, as you can imagine. I know I don't claim to be a political expert. All I did was lose my run for office twice, but in general, a good rule is it's probably a good idea not to crap all over the area you represent. That doesn't land well. And after that, which you heard her on camera. Here she is.
And I'm sure you've seen the commercials. I'm sure you've seen the onslaught of ads. And then today, the Republicans decided that they're going to start this narrative that me, the state representative who represents downtown Nashville, doesn't like the city. Now, I always want Nashville to be better, right? I want Nashville to be a place where working people can thrive, right? But sure, I get mad at the Bachelorette sometimes. I get mad at the pedal taverns, right? And you're talking to someone who has cried no less than 10 times in the Country Music Hall of Fame. The girl that just goes to the Ryman to hang out. No, we're not even going to go there. We are so close to winning this race, which is why these rumors are getting more wild.
Turns out you have to backpedal a little bit whenever you go on camera and talk about how much your city sucks. Jesse, why doesn't a single so-called Republican say you complain about ICE wearing masks, but it's okay for protesters and Antifa to wear masks in the community and burn and loot and destroy stuff? And the subject of this one is the hypocrisy. So this is probably a new listener to the show, and this is no insult. I need to explain this again for everybody who is new. For most of my life, actually for all of my life, the right has pointed out the hypocrisy of the left. And they have pointed out the hypocrisy thinking it would dissuade them or get them to change their ways And yet, it never has. Never one time has pointing out their hypocrisy gotten them to change their ways. Why? Why doesn't that work? Well, the mistake you're making is you're assigning your value system to people who don't share your value system. You don't like hypocrisy. You try not to be a hypocrite. Then, yeah, you're right, Chris. Yes, and that's good. I want to stress that. You don't want to be a hypocrite and you don't like hypocrisy. But don't make the human mistake of taking your value system and projecting it onto people who don't share it at all. Not at all. They don't care about hypocrisy. They don't care. These people will do and say anything to move the revolution forward. And remember, they view themselves as being the one true religion, the one true rulers. Doesn't the king get to eat things the peasants don't get to eat? You know, these people, the climate commies all the time, they'll do this. They'll fly on a private jet. Gavin Newsom just did it. Fly on a private jet down to Brazil and talk to everybody about how bad their carbon emissions are. And we point out, well, hypocrisy. He's such a hypocrite. He thinks he's above you. You have to give up your car. Not him. The COVID stuff, we pointed it out all the time. In COVID, these public officials kept getting, quote, busted traveling without masks, going out to eat. They're partying it up in Florida. And then they go on camera and tell you, you got to wear a mask. Don't travel. Stay inside. Be safe. Deborah Birx goes on camera and tells people not to gather with extended family for Thanksgiving. Hangs up from the interview. Promptly gets on a plane and goes with her extended family for Thanksgiving. And everyone looks and says, what a hypocrite. The hypocrisy. That doesn't work on her. She's above you. She's above me. We are simply the serfs. We're the peasants. Of course we're held to different standards than rulers. They see themselves as kings and queens. You are more than welcome to point out the hypocrisy of the communists hating that ICE wears masks and not caring that Antifa wears masks. You are welcome to point it out. It's a free country. You can scream at them till you're blue in the face about how hypocritical they're being. But it won't work. It won't move them a single inch. They don't share your value system. And if you keep projecting your value system onto them, you are going to be constantly losing. Slamming up against a wall and can't figure out why. All right, let's make fun of Lindsey Graham. And top five bands, next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can still email us your love, your hate, your death threats. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Look, we might answer, but also... people be texting.
Because I'm sorry, but like we don't have ethical like rules that say that you can't receive text messages or you can't respond to text messages, especially if somebody has a certain record and you can't do it in committee. We all be sitting on our phones. And yes, people be texting.
People be texting, Chris. Quit stressing over the whole thing. People be texting. Jesse, I too am a huge fan of the B-17. That's the Flying Fortress World War II bomber, which I love. I was able to pay $500 for a 20-minute flight in a rebuild your old pub. Of course, all the cool positions were blocked off. I'm an ex-airborne infantryman that stands a huge 5'6". I would like to think, if I am an airman in World War II, that I would be the ball turret gunner. What position do you think you would be? You also share the same mentality of the boys of the 8th. The ball turret gunners, you know, the ball turrets, I know it's obvious, but that's the ball turret that's under the B-17. If you look at one from the side and it looks like there's a big tumor out the bottom, there were a couple 50 cals out that thing. And it's fascinating. If you actually look at the ball turret, it's so small. I forget what the number is, but I think it was 5.5, 5.6. That was about the limit. And those guys, you get in there, and they're folded up inside of that thing. It's a tiny, tiny little thing. And those guys were insanely brave for a variety of reasons. One of them, the fighter planes would come up at you from the bottom. And because there are more guns up top, they'd come at you from the bottom. That's why the ball turret existed. So those guys would be under fire. That's one. You could get shot out of it. That's not bulletproof glass. You could get shot out of it and fall down. The ball turret had to be in a certain position to get the ball turret gunner out of it and back into the plane. There's a hatch, right? But it had to be in a certain position. Well, oftentimes these planes, if they made it back, which many times they didn't, if they made it back to England where they took off from, oftentimes these planes would be shot to pieces, parts of them hanging off, engines on fire, a disaster because the flak was so bad, the fighter planes were so bad. Well, the planes would take so many hits that sometimes the ball turret no longer operated and could not be put into position to get the guy out. Combine that with this. You want to hear something dark? You want to have an extra respect for those wonderful World War II bombers who did all that? Sometimes the landing gear didn't work either and couldn't be put back down. There are stories of ball turret gunners who had to ride in the ball turret for hours on the way back to England with the full knowledge that they were going to be flattened like a pancake when the plane landed because they couldn't get out and the landing gear didn't work. They would simply be smashed on impact. Crazy, right? 50% of them gone. And those planes, I've told you before, go to an air museum. The air museum's all over the place. Really, we've really done a good job in the country of preserving so many of our old planes and things like that. Take your kids out. Look at them. Touch them. Feel them. They're not these armored beasts. They're made of nothing. It's a soda can. And these guys were getting shot to pieces in these things all the time. Crazy, crazy bravery. Jesse, what do you consider the top five bands? I say your one is Zeppelin and two is Creedence. One is Creedence for me. Zeppelin's on that list. Maybe Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd might be on that list. I like what, Chris? I like Pink Floyd. Don't make that face. I like that. I like Pink Floyd. Johnny Cash should be on that list. No, not Smashing Pumpkins, Chris. Probably the Beach Boys. Jesse, what is that loser Lindsey? What if that loser Lindsey Graham sues and wins money, and we shame him into giving money to January 6th for their legal fees? Look, I'm going to try, but Lindsey Graham has no shame. If he did, he wouldn't be Lindsey Graham. Of course. He's the one who inserted that provision in the bill that allows U.S. senators to sue. And of course, he's the one already publicly bragging about all the people he's going to sue. I don't have any problem with U.S. senators finding a way to sue the FBI because their rights have been violated. I have a huge problem with senators making it so they can sue the FBI and you can't. You are not better than us. You are not special. You're not higher than us. You are supposed to serve us. And part of the reason this sticks in me so badly is after January 6th, when the Cheka started rounding up January 6ers everywhere they could find them, overcharging them, domestic seditious conspiracy, I mean, all this crazy stuff they would charge them with, throwing them in prison, abusing them routinely, How many Republicans can you name who spoke out, or even people on the radio, would speak out on their behalf? Can you name 10? There were almost none who were willing to speak out on behalf of these normal people who were having their lives completely destroyed, bankrupted, lost their jobs, lost their freedom. Chris said it was just me. It was not just me. There were others, but there weren't many. And I get so disgusted when normal people are just disregarded and forgotten about. All those years, all that abuse, all those people bankrupted and wiped out and freedom taken away and jobs lost. And not one time did the GOP Senate make a carve out so those people could get some kind of compensation from the evil FBI for what the evil FBI did to them. Not one time. But the second it comes out that United States senators had their text messages read and had their phone calls tracked and location tracked and things like that, they immediately insert something in a government funding bill that allows them to sue for $500,000 in incident. You can't even pretend to care about normal people. Like I said, maybe you're a scumbag, only care about yourself. I got it, but you can't even pretend? That's terrible, man. That's freaking terrible. Oracle, Nazis or communists? Which is the greater evil if you had to pick and why? That's a pretty tough one. And I don't know that there is a greater evil. The second you start mass murdering people for any reason, you've entered a realm of the greatest evil monsters ever. And I don't know that there is a greater evil. Look, there's no question that communists killed far more people, but that's because the Nazis were only one country and they actually weren't in power for that long. They didn't have enough time to kill as many people as Mao did or Stalin did or whatnot. I don't know that there is a greater evil. What, Chris? Yeah, he's not wrong. Chris said they both wanted central government control. They both wanted to control everything. And they both found people they labeled as enemies of the state and then used state power to mass slaughter those people. I don't know that you can say one's worse than the others. I know you can say Pure Talk's better than Verizon. That's easy, though. I know you can say Pure Talk's better than AT&T. It's better than T-Mobile. And I know you can say this. $29.95 a month for your mobile plan? For life? Think about that. Think about 10 years from now, still paying $29.95 a month for your mobile plan. Do you know what other people are going to be paying? You know that Pure Talk, they have a special right now, and it's extremely limited. If you go dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, they have a special I've never seen before. Unlimited for life. $29.95 a month. That is ridiculous. I've never seen it. I don't know that we'll ever see it again. If you've been waiting for the time to switch, the time is now, and it's limited. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Some restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, people be texting. I can't do anything about what, Chris? People be texting, okay? This is the bottom line. Jesse, no political questions or points I want to make today, although there's plenty on my mind. I just want to say you make me laugh nearly every day while delivering mostly bad news on my way home. And we should all find a way to laugh a little, even when there's things going on in this country that should scare every American. Like my nearly 88-year-old neighbor would say, you're a good egg. Thanks, man. Yeah, look, all we could do is laugh sometimes, right? And look, and be texting. What, Chris? Hey, Jesse, my question is, how did Biden get away with opening the borders and letting millions of illegals in when it's clearly against the law? Well, there's a lot to that. First of all, sadly, There are many things that they did when it comes to importing foreigners that are actually not against the law. Many things are against the law, but many are not because of ridiculous manipulations of our laws and crazy laws we've passed over the years. Things like refugees, asylum seekers, the laws of ours were violated or were there to be violated. But I'll tell you something, it brings up a point. It brings up a point that I made many times when Joe Biden was in office, and the point remains to this day. Right now, when the Democrat Party is the anti-America Communist Party trying to burn the country down, the best we can hope for as a nation, you and me, the best we can hope for is keeping our heads above water. That is a win. What we're doing right now is a win. We cannot survive long-term as a country with one of the two political parties trying to burn it down. It's not humanly possible. In order to save America long-term, we need something you can't do and I can't do. We have to have a reformed Democrat Party. It doesn't mean they have to be Republicans. Doesn't mean they have to believe everything you believe or I believe. Not at all. Not at all. There's room for everything in there. But we can't have an anti-American subversive party long term. You just can't make it. Until then, we fight every little battle we can and try to keep our heads above water. So back to your question. What this has to do with your question is, our country, our constitution, our system of government, it wasn't built. No system of government is built to withstand the chief executive trying to burn it down. You see, there's nothing you can do. When you have a president, and I know it wasn't Joe Biden, he was just a cadaver. The people around him were the ones who did it, but when you have a president of the United States of America who's trying to bring in, they've created an app to bring in as many foreigners as possible, there's just no law that can stop that. There's no system in place to stop that. It's like, I drive all the time. I'm the driver of the family. Everyone knows it. Unless we're teaching one of the boys to drive, which actually we're in the middle of another one of those right now, but unless we're teaching one of the boys to drive, I'm going to drive wherever we go. I'm the man of the house. I do the driving in the family. Now, obviously, there are all kinds of safeguards in the cars, seat belts and airbags and everything else, but is there anything that will protect my family if I decide I want to drive the car off a bridge? If the steering wheel's in my hands, I don't care how many airbags you have. It's not designed for that. We can't survive with Democrats trying to kill us. We can survive political disagreements. We can. We can't survive Democrats putting gay pornography in the school libraries. That has to stop. They have to stop. And that's out of your hands. Things are just out of your hands. Some things, I should say, are out of your hands. Look, protecting your online data is in your hands, though. That's what LifeLock's here for. LifeLock is here to protect your bank account, protect your credit score. You have to be proactive when it comes to stopping these criminals. Proactive. It doesn't do you any good to call LifeLock after your bank account has been zeroed out by an online crook. They can't help you then. LifeLock right now has a deal. You save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Jesse. What do? They'll monitor all your stuff. They'll let you know when there's a problem. And if they end up getting you, if the bad guys end up getting you, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't just let your bank account be swinging out there for anybody to grab. 1-800-LIFELOCK or lifelock.com, promo code Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By the goal, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Dear Shadow, I had a terrifying thought the other day when hearing you talk about being unable to pinpoint the exact reason behind the multiple recent public appearances from the former First Lady, that'd be Michelle Obama. I wonder if it is setting the stage for a 2028 presidential run. Thoughts? There would have been a time in my life where that would have made me afraid, because Michelle Obama was wildly popular. I despise her, but she was wildly popular when she was First Lady. But this is one of those things, presidential runs, it's easy to be popular as a First Lady. Why? You don't have to actually do anything controversial at all. You look pretty and you dress up and you're the president's arm candy and you read books to kindergartners and you can just do basic, non-political, pleasant, happy things, thus making you very, very appealing to the general public. But the second you decide you're going to start running for president, well, now you don't get to play the First Lady card anymore. Now we need to hear your position on the issues. We need to hear you talk about things. Michelle Obama is an unlikable hag because Michelle Obama is a filthy communist who complains all the time about everything. Everything is a complaint, how bad her life is, how much the country sucks, how much America's racist, America's sexist, and there is just no appetite for that anymore as a country. America's not going to be white-guilted into voting for any more communists in this country. We did that once before. We're not going to be male-guilted into that. It's not going to happen anymore. It doesn't work. I don't think she's popular enough. Jesse, last night I heard you make fun of that dork in Maine with the Nazi tattoo on his chest. The story I heard is he was a dumb grunt doing dumb stuff with other dumb grunts. Were you ever something or close to doing something like that in your time in the Corps? Nope, I did a whole bunch of really dumb, horrible things in my time in the Corps, and I can honestly tell you never at one point ever did it occur to me to get a Nazi tattoo. That just never crossed my mind. Maybe I'm just weird like that. You go, put your phone down, enjoy your weekend. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.